You ready for the word today? Come on, final week of Rattled. I think it's going to be a good one. Why don't you greet somebody around you at every location on your way to your seat today? Thank you, worship team. Come on, can we give it up for our worship team? Man, they are next level. Thursday night, I got to spend Thursday night with our worship teams from all of our campuses and production teams, and we just had church, y'all. Like, it was such a good time. So grateful for all the gifts in the house, all the talents that people are willing to use to make a difference. And I believe God's going to speak to us. Let's open our hearts. Father, we open our hearts and our minds to receive what you want to say to us in Jesus' name. Everybody said a big amen. Amen. Hey, I want you to know that in life, there are some things that are tensions to manage, and there are some things that are problems to solve. Let me say it to you again. If you're a note taker, write this down. If not, write it down. This is a good thing to remember. In life, there are some things that are tensions to manage, and there are some things that are problems to solve. Not everything that you're dealing with in life is a problem to solve. Some things are tensions that you have to learn to manage. If you own a business, you understand this. There are some things that you manage. There are tensions to manage. There's problems to solve. You can't save everything, but you can't spend everything. It's not a problem to solve. It's a tension to manage. Are y'all with me this morning? Whenever you're managing people, there are some things that are tensions to manage, some things that are problems to solve. In life, there are tensions to manage. Thin crust or deep dish? That's not a problem to solve. Both. Amen. Just don't do all deep dish or don't do all thin crust. Come on, somebody. Y'all with me? Like caramel on your ice cream or no caramel. That's not a problem to solve. It's a tension to manage. Sometimes you just need vanilla. Sometimes you need to add Oreos. Come on. Can I get an amen in God's house today, right? There's some tensions to manage. I think there's a tension to manage in the Christian walk that James is going to talk to us about today as we finish up this study on the book of James. There's a tension that he calls us to manage that I think sometimes if you're following Christ, that is a difficult one to get your mind around, and it is this: do I live for heaven one day or do I live for God today? Am I living for heaven or am I living for now? And here's some of the questions that sometimes maybe if you wrestle with this, you wrestle in your mind with like this. Should I just be selling everything I own and giving to the poor and living in a tent because heaven is my home and earth isn't? Is it bad that I own a car and there are children that need sponsorship who are looking for crabs and frogs? Hello, are y'all with me? Like, can I talk real for you for a moment? Like, there's this tension that I don't know, but I feel. I've been in third world countries. I've preached where it is dirt floors and people are sitting on rocks and stuff as their seat for the service, and you leave that moment going, I feel horrible for the life that I live. I feel horrible for the opportunities that I have, and am I not living for heaven enough? Am I not sacrificing enough? Am I not giving to God enough? Are y'all with me today? James is going to talk to us about this because there is this tension of which do I live for? And I want to encourage you in this today that we should live with an eternity mindset. And I don't think the tension we face is that we live too much in light of eternity. I think the tension we face is that the earth is wanting us to constantly pulling us to live in light of today. And so the question I don't think is, how do I live more for today, but how do I keep myself in check to live more for eternity? How do I keep my mind in a place where I'm going, okay, God's blessed me and I'm gonna enjoy his blessing. Matter of fact, Paul wrote to Timothy and said, tell everybody who's rich in this world that God's given them what he's given them for their enjoyment. I bet you didn't know that, right? Now he says, don't keep it all for yourself, but do enjoy what he's given you. So I'm not gonna feel shame that God has blessed me and I enjoy the blessing. Are y'all with me today? You should amen that right there. But I do wanna live in such a way where I keep my mind on the main thing and I realize that this earth isn't all there is to this life. Let me show you what James says to us in chapter 5. He says this, you too, Be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. The Lord's coming is near. In other words, James is wanting to tell us today that, hey, this life isn't all there is to this life, and I want you to live with your mind set on eternity. I'm not talking about being so heavenly minded that you're no good to the earth, but I'm also not talking about living where you are so earthly minded that you're no heavenly good. Are y'all with me? It's a tension to manage. I don't know it's a problem we'll ever solve. There are some days where I feel like, man, I am living for things of eternity. I've got my mind on the right things, and maybe you're more spiritual than me, but then there are other days where I'm just like living for the here and now. Like you can see it in my decisions, you can see it in my spending, you can see it in my attitude, you can see it in my response to others, that I think this earth is all there is. Hello, somebody, you can see it in how you responded to the election. You can think this earth is all there is to this earth. I like what C.S. Lewis said. He said, if I find myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. There are some things that this earth will never satisfy in you. No matter how much you accumulate, no matter how successful you become, no matter how much awards you win, no matter how many contracts you land, no matter how many sales deals you create, no matter how many sports teams you make, no matter what college you get accepted into, there are some things in this life that will not fulfill you because you were made for another world. And so how do I live my life in light of that? How do I keep myself from going too far to one direction of living for this earth, and I keep my heart pulled towards eternity? Are y'all with me? So I want to give you four things that James tells us in the end of chapter 4, going into chapter 5, that I think will help us live in light of eternity. Let me say it this way, live in light of what really matters. Living in light of what really matters. Number one is this, is that determine you're going to live life with urgency. That you're going to live life with an urgency. Not passively, but with an urgency. Here's what James says in chapter 4. He says, now listen, and I'll just warn you, don't read ahead. I'm just gonna warn you, James is gonna get a very corrective tone with us in the text. And so since this is inspired by God, God is getting a bit of a corrective tone. But here's what you've gotta understand. You've gotta get this revelation in your heart. Correction is always about protection. That correction is always about protection. I don't correct my kids just because I'm bored. I correct them because I can see danger in their future. I don't grab my little son and correct him if he's about to run in the middle of the road because I know he could get run over by a car. Hello, are y'all with me? Correction is always about protection. So y'all with me? You ready to receive it? He says, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this city or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why do you not even know what will happen? Why you do not even know what will happen tomorrow? And then he says this, what is your life? You are a mist, a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes. James says to us that if he didn't have these in his times, but he would have said, you're like what comes out of a spray bottle. You spray it and it's mist and you can see it for a second and then it's gone. He's telling us that life is short, so live with some urgency. Now, when you're young, you think life is for forever, right? How many of you know that every year that goes by, they get faster? I mean, can you believe that we're 3 weeks or so away from the year anniversary of 2 weeks to flatten the curve? Some of you should throw, hey, it's the 1 year anniversary of 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Like time just seems to be like moving quicker and quicker. When you're young, you're like, oh, it's gonna be forever before I get to high school. And then it's forever until I get my driver's license. Then it's forever until I get married. And then you get in your 40s and it's like, Whoa, calm down. Slow down. I can't see as well. What's happening to my eyes? Why am I up in the middle of the night going to the bathroom all the time? Like, slow. Come on, somebody. You know I'm telling the truth. It's like, slow it down a little bit, right? And so we think we got a long time. I got a long time to restore that relationship. I got time to give that forgiveness. I've got time to, but he's saying, no, I need to live with an urgency in me. And if I live with an urgency, here's what I'll tell you. If I live with an urgency to realize that my time is short and that I need to do what I need to do now, today, I don't need to put it off till tomorrow, then we won't get our eyes so fixed on the itty-bitty, minute things that get our attention that really don't matter for eternity. We won't get so easily offended about what someone said to go, I can't waste my time carrying around that bitterness. I can't waste my time carrying around that unforgiveness. I can't waste my time in that relationship. If they don't want me, I can't waste my time in that friendship. If the job doesn't care for me, I can't waste my time in that. Life is short. I don't have for forever. I've got to do what matters for God now. I believe that if we understood eternity and we lived with our eyes towards it, that maybe we would invite that friend to church that we've been putting off, that we live with more of an urgency. Maybe we would pray a little bit different. We'd live with a little bit more of an urgency. Maybe we would serve. Maybe we would go on a missions trip. Maybe we would sponsor a child, realizing that life is short. I don't have much time. I don't have time to deal with petty things. I don't have time to deal. I'm on a mission from King Jesus, and this time isn't short. I can make all the plans that I want. I can say I'm gonna go do this tomorrow, and I'm gonna do that, and there's nothing wrong with planning. I'm good for that, all about that, but I'm not gonna plan like I'm in control. I'm not going to plan like I've got all the time in the world. I'm not going to plan and go, well, one day, well, when I retire, that's when I really invest in God's kingdom. Well, when I get done with, no. Life is short. You're not promised tomorrow. You're not promised tomorrow. The only thing you're promised is an appointment with death. And I'm not trying to be morbid with you today. I just kind of want to shake you and wake you up a little bit and go, you're not promised tomorrow. Do today what you need to do. Are you with me? Live in light of eternity. Live with a perspective on eternity. This is not what it's all about. This life, this earth. I'm not saying it's bad to have things, or God's already told us the blessings he gives us are for us to enjoy. But this isn't all there is. This isn't all there is. What are you investing your life in? Number one, live with urgency. I love what Martin Luther said. He said, live as though Christ died yesterday, rose today, and is returning tomorrow. Isn't that strong? Like he died today, yesterday, he rose today, and he's coming. How would that change your perspective if you got up every day going, today was the day he was resurrected? Can you imagine when the disciples and everybody saw Jesus that day? Can you imagine the fire in their belly when they lie, hot dog, he's alive. He is who he said he was. Come on, somebody. Can you imagine the passion? Do you think they got distracted by so-and-so didn't like my post? Do you think they got distracted by so-and-so didn't say hi to me? Do you think they got distracted by the boss didn't this and the job didn't this and who's in the White House and da-da-da? Do you think they got distracted by any of that? No, they were like, he's alive. He's the Messiah. The gospel is true. The resurrection is real. People need to know God. They need to be set free by God. Come on, somebody, are you with me? And what if we really live like he's coming back tomorrow? Do you think maybe that there'd be a little more fire inside of you? Can I tell you something? He could. He could come back tomorrow. He could return before you walk out of this building. There is nothing stopping him. Prophecies have been fulfilled. The stage is set. Everything is ready. He could come back today. I think the only thing that stops him is grace. Because there's more people he wants to add to the family. But he could come back this very moment. How differently would you live if it was like he died yesterday, rose today, and he's coming back tomorrow? How would it affect your decisions, your living, your relationships? Number two, I think this will just help us not get so earthbound, but get eternity focused. Number two is to submit to God's plan. Submit to God's plan. James goes on to say in chapter 4, he says, instead of saying, I'll do this or that, he says, your life's like a vapor. He said, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will. I love that phrase. If it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. In other words, he's saying, don't make plans. That's not a problem. He's just saying, have your plans submitted to God's plan. Just be ready that if your plan gets interrupted by God's plan, that you're like, hey, we'll trash my plan. Are you with me? He says, as it is, and he gets challenged. He says, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. That's a strong statement. I'm not gonna park on that. We could do a whole message on that. Let me just give a little caveat. That means this. If you know you should serve others and don't, then it's sin to you. You don't need a chapter and verse that says serving others, not serving others is sin. If you know you should tithe and you don't, it's sin to you. If you know you should sponsor a child and you don't, it's sin to you. If you know, are y'all with me? But he says, if the Lord wills. It used to drive me crazy as a kid. My dad would say, well, we're gonna go on vacation if it's God's will. And I was like, what does God have to do with our vacation? Either we plan it, put the deposit down, put gas in the car, pack the bags. Are y'all with me? I was just driving me crazy. I was like, what does this have to do with a plan? Like, you create a plan. You create a plan. You execute the plan. You make sure you have the resources to execute the plan. And then you enjoy the fruits of the execution of the plan. Are you with me? And dad'd be like, we're gonna go to, if it's the Lord's will. I get it now. Because God's will can supersede my will. I can make all the plans that I want. The Bible says, in a man's heart, he makes plans, but it is God who orders his steps. I made all kinds of plans. Are y'all following me? Being a senior pastor wasn't one of those plans. I had plans to be a youth pastor. At the most, I thought maybe when I'm old and I don't relate to young people anymore, I'll be like the associate pastor. And I'll make sure to take care of the senior pastor. And if anybody messes with them, I have friends in New York that build buildings and they'll just disappear. I was like, that'll be my role. But at a point I had to submit to God's plan. Are you with me? I had all kinds of plans about where I would live and what I would do. I thought I'd live in New York City for forever. That was where I was before here. I thought, that'll be it. I'll live in the city. I'll be able to walk to Starbucks. There's like 200 within 3 feet. Hey, over this last year watching the reports, I thank God I'm in Virginia. Glory to God. But I had to submit to God's plan. Are y'all with me? Not my plan, God's plan, if the Lord wills. That means I don't get so tied to my earthly plan. It's not bad to have them. Don't hear me say that. Don't just be like, well, I'm gonna wake up today and see what God wants. I can tell you, God wants you to get up on time, be at work on time, do the best you do, better than anybody else, comes with excellence, show up with a great attitude. Are y'all following me? Like don't get weird. I just wake up and follow the will of God. No, don't be dumb. What I'm saying is that you live in a way to go, God, if today your plan supersedes my plan is submitted to you. I'm submitted to you. God, if you interrupt my schedule today, I'm submitted to you. God, if you interrupt my life, I'm submitted to you. I want to be on your plan. And I don't know what that is for every one of you. I don't know what that is. I do know kind of macro what the will of God is for you. I mean, there's like the universal kind of God's will for everybody and everyone. I do know that because the Bible lays that out. But I don't know God's personal will for your life. Like, I don't know, should you marry them or not marry them? I don't know if you should take the job or not take the job. I don't know if you should, you know, buy the thing or not buy the, build the home, not build that. Like, I don't know those individual things for you, but I do know this, and this is the will of God for every human on the planet. It is that every lost person would be saved. Every saved person would be pastored. Every pastored person would be trained, and every trained person would be deployed. We say it like this, that you would know God, you would find freedom, you'd discover purpose, and you'd make a difference. That's the will of God for every human on the planet, and you can find that from the very beginning of the book to the very end of the book. This has been the will of God. So I don't know God's individual will for you, but I do know that if you're going to be submitted to the will of God, then your life needs to look like this, that you know God, that you have found freedom from your yesterdays so you can become everything God wants you to be in all of your tomorrows, that you figured out why you're on the planet. Mark Twain said the two greatest days of your life is the day you were born and the day you find out why. And then you use your life to make a difference. The ultimate end of every person on the planet and the ultimate end of every believer is that you'd make a difference. Can I challenge you in something? If you're not using your life to make a difference in the life of someone else, then you are stuck in your spiritual journey. You're stuck. And I want to help you get unstuck. This is why we talk about this thing all the time. Growth track. It's not because like, campus pastors get commission on every person that goes to the growth track. And so they're like, you know, no, it's because we want something for your life. Because in this environment, you're going to sit in a discussion environment and you're going to find out, guess what? That God has given you spiritual gifts and what they are. Every one of you should know your spiritual gift, like divinely given by God gift that is on the inside of you. You should know what that is. My spiritual gift's the gift of evangelism. I have the spiritual gift of faith. Like I believe for things that people laugh about and then they come to pass. Are you following me? Like everybody has faith. God's for some reason giving me the gift of faith. You should know your spiritual gifts. If you don't know what they are, go to Growth Track. You're gonna find out. You should know your personality and experiences. Can I tell you, everything you've experienced in your life, God has put in your life for the purpose of using it to make a difference. If not, every tragedy is wasted in your life. Why would you waste any tragedy? Why wouldn't you turn your tragedies into a testimony that God can use for the glory of God to make a difference in somebody's life? That's why we talk about this all the time. Why? Because in that environment, you're gonna realize I've been wired some ways and God made me that way. And this is how my wiring fits in the kingdom of God, in the body of Christ, to make a difference in the lives of others. And can I tell you, you're not really living until you're living your life in a way that makes a difference in somebody else's life. I don't know the individual will of God, but I know the big will of God for you is to know why you're here and then to use that gift to make a difference in the world around you. For some of you, you've taken that step, and some of you need to take a further step, and it's this. It's you need to consider developing you in a deeper way through LifePoint College. This isn't a glorified internship. Are you with me? Like we have people in this that have letters before their name and after their name. Are y'all following me? Like, this isn't some little side project. This is a place where we're developing world class. I just talked to one of our college students this morning, fourth semester, so he'll be graduating in May. I said, what's going on? He goes, I'm getting married in June. I just finished my second interview to be an associate campus pastor at a church in North Carolina. And he said, the third one is just the finalized start date. Come on, somebody. This isn't just some glorified like internship. This isn't just come work for the church for 2 years. No, we're developing leaders that are going out. They're gonna make a living, but more importantly, they're gonna make a difference for the kingdom of God. Are you with me? Some of you, this is your next step and you're like, is this a commercial for the college? Yes, it is. We have a daytime preview day coming up this coming Wednesday. And some of you need to text this. You need to come be a part of this. You can go to preview day during the day and you can go to movement night at night. It's gonna be amazing. You need to come be a part. Parents, you need to come be, encourage your student to be a part. God's got a call on your life. He's got a purpose for you. Some of you, you work a regular job. You just wanna develop. We have some incredible, we have PhDs go through our evening program because they're just like, I wanna go deeper in the word and deeper in theology. We have a preview day on the 25th for evening program. You can do it one night a week. You can give one night of your week and I promise you, you'll know the Bible better, you'll know your theology better, you'll know leadership better, and you will be better at the end of it. You can give one night a week. One night a week on a Monday night. And so you need to check into that. You need to submit to God's plan if it's the Lord's will. Are you with me? If it's the Lord's will. Are y'all with me so far? Yeah. Number three is this, is build a legacy. If I'm gonna live in light of eternity, I'm gonna build a legacy. Look what James gets into in chapter 5:1. He says, now listen. So remember the first passage we wrote, now listen, like this is another one of those kind of correct. He said, now listen, you rich people. Some of you are thinking like, oh, this doesn't apply to me. If you earn more than $35,000 in a year, you're in the top 1% income earners in the world. You stinking rich people. Some of you are so rich, you have houses for your cars called garages. You build a house for your car to sit in. Some of you are so rich that you have to go to the fridge in the garage to get the extra food that you can't fit in your house out. Some of you are so rich, you walk into a closet full of clothes and you say, I have nothing. Come on, I'm not gonna mess. I'm just trying to help you see. Y'all with me? He says, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming on you. I'm not speaking, this isn't like just because you're rich, this is why, what? Your wealth is rotted and moths have eaten your clothes and your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded, this is why, you have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay to workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourself in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered innocent one who was not opposing you. So he says, there's misery coming on you, you wealthy people. And then he says, here's why, is because you had more than you needed and you kept it all for yourself. He said, the people that worked for you, you didn't give them the wages that were due to them. And then in the day of harvest, the day of slaughter, which for the Jews would be the day of harvest, in the day of slaughter or the day of harvest, slaughter for livestock, harvest for agricultural people. He says, in the day of slaughter, in the day of harvest, you kept it all for yourself. And the Jewish custom was that the first tenth belongs to the Lord on the day of harvest. That you bring your first and your best to God. This is what is called the tithe. Jesus talks about it in Matthew, returning the tithe to God. And he says, listen, he says, you've kept it all for yourself. So you had more than you needed and you hoarded it all for you. See, God has no problem with you having. Are you with me? Has no problem with you having. He has no problem with you building. He has no problem with success. He has no problem with you enjoy the blessing that God has given to you. I don't know if you grew up or heard or been around like a poverty kind of theology, which is not biblical. God does not expect you to be poor and you're not more holy the poor that you are. God is okay with you enjoying what you have. What God is not okay with you is you hoarding all that you have. That he has blessed you to be a blessing to others. And so what'll keep you towards eternity is when you determine, I'm gonna build legacy. What does that mean? It means I'm gonna build into something that will outlast me and live for eternity. With some portion of what God has given me, I'm gonna make sure I'm investing in eternity. Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. This is what our Kingdom Builder team does. You know, they've got this. They get it. They're amazing. They get it. They go, you know what? I could keep all this. I could get more, bigger, better, but I'm gonna take some of it. I'm gonna invest in what really matters. I'm gonna invest in eternity. I'm gonna invest in feeding the poor. I'm gonna invest in touching lives. I'm gonna invest in seeing people come to faith in Christ. I'm gonna invest in a new church. I'm gonna invest in missions. I'm gonna invest in a local outreach. Are you following me? I'm gonna build legacy. Just let me ask you, with the resources God has given you, what are you building? Your kingdom or His? Because here's the reality, most all of us have more than we need. I didn't say more than we want. None of us have that, right? Because the line keeps moving. Does it not? Well, if I could get this raise, and then what? You get that raise, and it's like, I didn't quite do it. Just a little bit, right? The line keeps, I'm not saying more than we want, but we all have, imagine the majority of us have more than we need. And so what are you doing with the excess? What are you doing with the excess? When you invest some of it in eternity, when you invest some of it into the kingdom of God, when you invest it in a way that builds legacy for you, then it keeps your heart towards eternity. Keeps your heart towards the things that really matter. Keeps your heart towards remembering little boys like we saw earlier. That's what really matters. Right at the end of the day. At the end of the day, what really matters is seeing someone go into the water of baptism and then come back out of it and know that your investment was a part of that. At the end of the day, does it really matter that when you see the well dug in the most unreached area of the world where people don't even know the name of Jesus and know that they'll come for fresh water because they can't find it anywhere else, but when they come to the fresh water, they'll get introduced to the living water whose name is Jesus, and their life will never be the same. I mean, isn't that what really matters at the end of the day? So whenever you take some, not all of it, whenever you take some of the more than you need, you build legacy and it keeps your heart on eternity. Final one, number four is this, is live with expectancy. Live with expectancy in your heart. Expectancy of what? Expectant that it may not be today and it may not be tomorrow, although it could be, but that any moment, Jesus could be coming back. James says this. He says, dear brothers and sisters, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Some of you are like, I'll just be wrong. There's some moments last year I was like, God, now would be awesome. Like right now would be a great time for you to return. Come on, anybody with me? Like right now, just take me out of here right now. You don't even need to really return, God. You can just take me. Just me, like I wanna have like, you know, one of those moments, I was and then I wasn't. I'm gonna have one of those just, I don't really wanna die, I don't want people to grieve, I just wanna be like, he left, phew, through the roof, there he went. And he says, be patient and consider the farmers who patiently wait for the rains in the fall and in the spring. They eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen, and you too must be patient, take courage. And then he says it again, for the coming of the Lord is near. So live with expectancy in your heart. That God, I'm looking forward to the day, but it's also gonna live today in light of that day. God, I'm expectant. Like, I remember when I was younger, I was just like, all right, God, let me graduate high school before you come back, you know, because my dad was my pastor and he preached and like God could return at any moment. Sometimes I'd be like, if he comes back now, I'm going to hell. Like what I just thought in my head. I didn't understand grace and all that. And then I was like, let me get, you know, Tammy and I, we both grew up pure and we were virgins and we got married. And I was like, God, let me get married first. At least let me get through the honeymoon week. Come on, like. My kids are thoroughly embarrassed right now. We have very open conversations as a family. But we live with expectancy. It'll keep your mind on eternity. Are you with me? God, I'm expecting the day. I'm expecting today could be the day, tomorrow could be the day. So I want to live for what really matters. Can I just tell you something? You won't get rattled if you live in light of eternity. Because the pandemic was hard, and yes, it was painful, and man, it was challenging for all of us as we've lived, and now we're living still through it, and hopefully coming out on the other side of it. But you won't get rattled if you're like, this isn't my home. I'm not living for this. All my eggs aren't in the earth basket. I'm living for eternity. And I'm just telling you, there'll be some days where it's like, man, I'm making all my decisions as if I'm gonna be here forever. And there'll be some days that I'm making my decisions like I'm not gonna be here anymore and I'm living all for heaven. And I don't know, it's not a problem you'll ever solve. It's a tension you'll constantly live in. God, I wanna live for what really matters, but earth pulls on me so hard. And I think to help you fight the urge of the earth is to do what James has told us. Live with urgency, submit to God's plan, build legacy, and live with expectancy. I want to end with this quote from C.S. Lewis. I think it's helpful. If you read in history, you'll find that the Christians who did most for the present world were precisely those who thought most of the next. You want to do most for God in this world? Keep your mind on the next. You want to make the biggest impact for God in this world? Then keep your mind on the next. Don't live for the earth. It's got nothing to offer you. I read one other thing C.S. Lewis said. He said, if you aim for heaven, you'll get earth thrown in. If you aim for earth, you get neither. So aim for heaven. Aim for heaven. Will you pray with me? With every head bowed, every eye closed, some of you don't necessarily live in light of eternity because your heart hasn't been turned towards it. You're living for now, you're living for here. And if you're to get gut level honest, you're living for you. You're living for what makes you happy, what fulfills you, what. And it's because you've never come to a place where you've surrendered your life to something that is greater than you. And that's the person of Jesus. And can I just tell you, if you aim at earth, you don't get earth or heaven. But if you aim at heaven, you'll get both. And I want to invite you to aim your life towards heaven today. I want to encourage you to make a decision today that you'll be glad you make when you stand in eternity. And that is to surrender your life to Jesus, to make him the Lord, the chief, the captain, the director of your life. See, the Bible tells us that we have all sinned. We've all blown it. And that's not any new news to any of us. And but it says that the wages of our sin is death. That word death means eternal separation from a loving God. But the scripture goes on to tell us, but the gift of God is eternal life. God has this amazing gift he wants to give you. It's eternal life, and it's found only in Jesus. It's not found in your best effort. It's not even found in your philanthropy. It's not found in your good works. It's found in the work Jesus did on the cross. And if you'll receive it by faith, meaning, God, I'm trusting what Jesus did on the cross for me to forgive me of all my sin, to give me a brand new beginning. then today you'll be forgiven. You have a new start. You have confidence that your home is not this earth, but it's in the next. And so if you desire that, I want to invite you to pray a prayer with me in just a moment. But at every one of our locations, I'm going to count to three. When I do, if you'd say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not confident I'm ready for eternity. I'm not confident in my heart that I have a relationship with Jesus. When I get to three, I want you to shoot your hand up. No one's going to come to you, wouldn't embarrass you for the world. If you're in the chat room, just let us know that's you. But you'd say, Pastor, I want to be a part of that prayer today. I want to live in light of eternity. I want to be ready when this life is over. If that's you, when I count to three at every location, you just shoot your hand up boldly. No one looking around on three. One, two, three. You just shoot it up. God bless you. God bless you. You can put it down. Church, I want you to pray this out loud with me for the benefit of those who are praying for the first time, or maybe they're coming back to God today. Just say, Jesus, I need you. I ask you to forgive me of all my sin. I believe you died for me. I believe God raised you from the dead. Today, I make you my Lord and Savior. Thank you for a brand new beginning. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Come on, let's celebrate those who made that decision. Hey, it's the greatest decision you'll ever make in your life, and we want to help you in this spiritual journey, in this journey of knowing God and all the next steps you need to take in walking with Jesus. And so a couple years ago, I wrote a book called Fully Alive. I want to get that into your hands. It's a completely free resource to you. Just want to help you, want to add value to your life. And you can get that by texting the keyword LCS to 94000. We will get that out in the mail to you this week. If you found today's message helpful, feel free to rate, review, or even share it with a friend. Also want to encourage you to think about partnering with us. You know, together through your giving, we can take this message around the world and make a difference in the lives of so many people.
Thanks again for joining us today. If you would like to partner with us, you can do so by clicking the link in the description, visiting lifepoint.org/give, or via text messaging on your mobile device. Just text the dollar amount of your gift and keyword LifePoint to 45777. Thank you for your generosity. We can do so much more together than we ever could apart.